Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, please. The book of Ephesians this morning, chapter 4. We're going to read two verses this morning in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27 this morning. As you're finding your place in the Bible, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. All righty, beginning in verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for our pastor who faithfully comes and preaches to us. God, help him today. Empower him with thy Holy Spirit for this task. And Father, I pray for us, those that hear the Word of God this morning. Father, that we'd be ready to hear, willing to hear. And then, Father, most important, ready and willing to obey what the Scriptures have to tell us this morning. Father, if there's one in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, who's never trusted Jesus for their salvation, that today they would settle it before they leave. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. As you're being seated this morning, let me make my cell phone speech. Please turn it to off or to vibrate. We have unmanned military drones flying over this building right now. And if your cell phone goes off, it will hone in on you, target you, mark you, and when you walk in the parking lot, you will be shot. So please make sure that it's turned to vibrate or to turn to off. We would appreciate that very much this morning. Please help us also by sitting very still and listen very carefully. We have been for some weeks now covering the subject of biblical answers to life's issues. Biblical answers to life's issues. One more time. Biblical answers are God's answers. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get no better answer for any issue you face than God's answer. We have to stop comparing what everyone else says or thinks to what the Bible says and then choose which one we like. That's like telling God, you're not as smart as some man. You're not as smart as some person. You're not as smart as some institution. God's word is the answer, ladies and gentlemen. It's not an answer, it's the answer. It is the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. We can base what we believe on the answer of the truth from God's word. And so this series of messages was, frankly, didn't really intend it to be much of a series, and it's sort of grown a bit. And we've got a few more subjects I believe God would have us to cover because of issues that we face in our lives today. And the issue I want to talk to you about today is the issue of anger. Now, maybe you don't have a problem with anger this morning. Do you realize that in the Bible, there is the right kind of anger and there's the wrong kind of anger? Do you know what the right kind of anger is? That's what I have. Do you know what the wrong kind of anger is? That's what you have. Look at Ephesians 4:26. Before you read the rest of it, read the first few words. Be ye angry. That's what it says. Without interpretation, it says, be ye angry. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, today, God gets angry. Psalm chapter 7, verse 11, the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. That must mean God is mad all the time because there is a heap of wickedness going on this earth. Yes? Jesus got angry. Oh, yes. He got angry with the Pharisees and how they held a standard for others that by which they did not live. He was angry with that. He went into the temple and he saw them exchanging money and stuff in the temple. It wasn't taking offerings. It was simply this. A person would go to the temple and instead of offering a sacrifice for their needs in their life, they would simply go to a person, hand him some money and say, I want you to do a lamb for me at 4 o'clock. I got something else to do. And they were giving money instead of doing what they were supposed to do. And there was money exchanging going on, but it was all about them not being truthful in their worship. that angered Jesus. He kicked the tables over, slapped those animals, and chased them out of the temple place. Jesus got angry with his disciples because of their lack of faith. So if anger is always wrong, then God is wrong and Jesus is wrong, and I know that's not true. Now, I'm serious. When I say there's a right kind of anger and there is a wrong kind of anger, there are reasons. There is cause. Matthew 5, 22, Jesus said, if you're angry with your brother without cause, you sin. So then there must be a cause for anger. So if we get this clear right off the bat this morning, we'll clear a bit of groundwork. We'll get to the point and the purpose of dealing with the wrong kind of anger. But if you'll see that, and I want you to look at Ephesians 4, 26 this morning, and look how simple the statements are here. Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down on your wrath. You see the statement now? Follow it. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now look. That means, yes, it's right, okay, to be angry. There are causes, there's reasons. Number two, there's a limit to my anger. Let not the sun go down. The Bible says, be ye angry, and what's the next statement? And sin not. So my anger should not produce sinful actions in my life. My anger should not produce words out of my mouth that should not be said. I get so mad and I just cuss. That's the wrong kind of anger. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, this is an amazing statement, but true. There is a kind of anger that you control. That's the right kind. The anger over which you are in control. Be ye angry and sin not. You can get angry about things that are just and right and purpose. There's a purpose to that anger, but it should never cause you to do something you should not do. It shouldn't cause you to break the law. It shouldn't cause you to, unless it's unjust, but anyway. It shouldn't cause you to break the law. It should not cause you to do things you should not do. It shouldn't bring sinful actions out of your life. Be ye angry and sin not. There's a limit to the anger. Number two, there is a limit to the anger in its duration. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. That means nothing, right or wrong, otherwise should cause me to be angry for longer than 24 hours. There are people out there today, ladies and gentlemen, they are a walking time bomb. You've seen them before. Lose control. I mean absolutely lose control of their mouth, their conduct, their behavior, and everything else. And it's always in a public place and often in a restaurant when you're trying to have a meal. Or someplace like that, they just lose control of themselves because they live an angry life. Now this morning we want to separate this thing about anger and talk a bit about the right kind of anger, etc. And we'll deal with that in a moment. And then we want to talk to you about the wrong kind of anger and how to deal with that one. Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down on your wrath. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a right kind of anger. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, what we find is the right kind of anger is an anger that I control. Let me just read the verse to you this morning, if you would, for time's sake. It's Proverbs 16 and 32, but listen to the verse. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Listen to the statement again. He that is slow to anger. So that quick, volatile, no control, lose it, go to pieces, vile language, violent acts, all those sorts of things, that's not biblical anger. Slow to anger, it's an expression that means you put a pot of water on a stove and you bring it to a boil. We all want to put it on there, turn the switch on, and have hot water. It doesn't work like that. It has to reach the temperature and then begin to boil. It comes up slowly to temperature. That's he that is slow to anger is what now? It says here, listen, is better than the mighty. They're in such control of their temper that it comes up slowly and goes down carefully. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The most mighty conqueror on this planet is not the best general who can conquer an enemy or a foe. It's the person who controls their spirit. They rule over that. They don't live an angry life. They're not mad all the time. They're not always upset about something. There's not always this anger and vileness that goes on in their life. The right kind of anger is an anger that you control. You turn it on, you turn it off. You bring it up, you turn it away. Anger that you control your actions in the process, even when you're at your at the peak of the anger that you have. The right kind of anger is an anger over a just cause. That's Matthew 5:22. Jesus said, if you're angry with your brother without cause. You know, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. I wish sometimes people would get passionate about some things in their life. I wish sometimes people would demonstrate anger about something worth being angry about. We get upset because the price of milk goes up. We get upset over the most insane things on this planet. And then the real causes, the causes of what we're seeing deteriorating in our nation, doesn't seem to bother most Christians, doesn't even seem to bother most Americans. That they're ripping away the underpinnings of the foundation of our nation, which is our constitutional rights given us as free citizens in this nation. Tearing them away from us, and all we're concerned about is he going to give me a bailout check? Do I get money? Do they do something for me? Is someone going to do something for me instead of that aggravates me. It angers me that too many Americans today are here because they want America to be here for them instead of them being here for America. Those things should anger us. It should anger us when someone challenges God's word. That should anger us. They say, well, the Bible's just a book written by men. They are ignorant, do not know what they're talking about, and they're attacking the authority of the word of God. You see, those things, ladies and gentlemen, there should be a cause for anger. Now, you don't have to like this if you don't want to. Somebody comes on your property, tries to harm your people, you better get fired up about it. Now, you do not take the law in your hands. As far as I'm concerned, they come on my property, that is my domain. That's my right to protect my people. It should do something for it. There should be some, there is a cause for our anger. Now here's what we're doing today. We're putting all of our anger, as it were, on causes that are not just. We're going to get all upset and be angry about some team trading a player from one team to another team, or somebody's sports team doesn't win, or something. We get angry about the most foolish things on this planet. That frankly, there is no cause to that. But if your Bible says, if you're angry with your brother without cause, Jesus said, you sin. But if there's a cause, then there is a reason for it. But again, one more time, but it is anger over which you are in control, that you start, that you stop, and doesn't last longer than 24 hours. Now see, that kind of anger most people don't have. Because most people live, to quote a colloquial expression, ticked off. They're mad about everything. Get in an airport somewhere in America. Anywhere in America. Yesterday, I picked up my bag from the airport in Sacramento as we were coming back home, and it had a sticker on it that said, inspected by Homeland Security. That aggravated me. I'm a veteran. I defended the rights and freedoms of this country. I ain't no stinking terrorist. You say, well, you have to do that because everybody about, well, you know, and I know they don't know whose suitcase that is. I understand that. I'm offended by that. I'm sorry. There's nothing private about it. Well, you could have put a bomb. I didn't put a bomb in there. There's some dirty clothes that were questionable, but there was no bomb in there, okay? But that was yesterday, and I'm over it, so don't worry about it. But there is a right kind of anger. I'm afraid what we're doing is we're allowing the world's philosophy about things to push us into a pacifistic attitude that frankly isn't scriptural. But what about the wrong kind of anger? Well, the wrong kind of anger, my friend, is an indicator that something's not right in your life. See, look there, Ephesians 4. We see the statement of verse 26, 27. Drop to verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, the Bible says. Do you see that? Then verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Look here, because I grieve the Holy Spirit, I can't get the wrong kind of anger out of my life. The wrong kind of anger is an indicator that spiritually something's not right in me. It is an indicator that something's not right in my spiritual life, because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and faith and temperance. You know what temperance is in the Bible? It means self-control. That's the spirit of controlled individual gets angry over the right reason, it stops it, and they're fine. They don't walk around the rest of their life mad because of something that happened 15 years ago. Doesn't last longer than 24 hours. We're flying down there, and there's three guys sitting behind us on an airplane, three grown men who you could have thought they were junior hires. All they talked about was sports. I like sports. I'm a sports guy. I'm up for sports. That's all they talked about, and they talked loudly. So loudly, I could barely have a conversation with my wife sitting next to me. They were so loud. That's aggravating. See, why didn't you do something? Because I had the wrong kind of anger. I wanted to climb over that seat and remind them what I was before I was a preacher. But the truth of the matter is, it was aggravating me, and I was getting angry. Now look at me. When you have the wrong kind of anger, it is an indicator something spiritually is not right in your life. Greatest illustration I ever heard was Brother Chuck Clouser. He and his dear wife used to go to our church for many years before they moved to Southern California. He had a bunch of chickens at his place that about here in the countryside. And he had a rooster named Russell. And he was the rooster. You know what I mean? If you ever had chickens, you know what I'm saying? You have a rooster. You may have a lot of hens. You got one rooster in the yard. And Russell was the rooster. And every time he'd go out in the yard, feed them stupid chickens, Russell would try to hook him with his barb on his leg. He said, I was over that one day, and that thing came over, and he tried to claw at me and things. And I'd, kick at it and tell him to get away from me and things. He said, one day I was out there preaching, and he said I was feeding them chickens, and I was bending over and throwing some feed out like that. Russell came flying by, and he hooked me right on the end of my jaw with his foot. He said, that was it. I got me a stick. I backed that Russell up in the corner of that chicken yard. And he said, I raised that stick. I was going to do that chicken in. He said, then the Spirit of God overtook me, and I only hit him three times. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I don't know what that was, but then he said, but it got bad later on. I went out in the chicken yard with my bow and arrow, and I stuck Russell. He said, I just let him have it. Threw him on the garbage thing out behind the house. He said, sad thing is, next morning I went out there, and there was Russell standing in the chicken yard. He said, I didn't mess with him after that. That was the end of that. When I have the wrong kind of anger, ladies and gentlemen, listen here now. It's an indicator spiritually something's not right. Well, what you need, Pastor, intense counseling. No, you need to get alone with God. The Holy Spirit of God, my friend, helps us to overcome the things in our lives, those weaknesses, flaws, and your temper. I guarantee you, a temper thing, a wrong kind of temper, an out of control, cursing, bitterness, mad at the world, upset with everybody, complain about everything, always picking fights and arguments with people. That kind of temper is only controlled in your prayer closet when you walk with God. And my friend, to have the Holy Spirit controlling you, he must live inside of you. So it starts with your salvation. See, we have a world that's vastly unsaved today in this world. That's why they're so angry all the time. Why they're so bitter all the time. Why they're so... Listen, you get Christ in your heart, my friend. You trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Spirit of God comes to live within you. And then He can control you and begin to change you and shape you. Then you take your Bible, and on a daily basis, you spend time with God. And you ask the Holy Spirit to control you. In the old building one day, I'd gotten up that morning early and getting ready for my day at the office. I read my Bible. I prayed. As we use in the preaching expression, I got God all over me. I was ready for the day. I was happy in Jesus. Singing good songs. Just beautiful sunshining day. Drove over to the old church property. We were over here on Cedars Road. Pulled in the morning, got my little tie on, got my little briefcase in my hand. I get out of the car, and I look over in the backside of our old parking lot over there, and there's a van there with a guy leaning up against the van smoking a cigarette and a woman out in the field with a dog, possibly the ugliest poodle I had ever seen in my life. Now, I won't offend any poodle owners by saying I don't think any of them are good looking, but this one was particularly ugly. big collop of fat on his hindquarters, and it was mangy looking. And I saw him over there, and I thought, So I walked over, and I said, good morning, may I help you? And the guy goes, no. I said, what are you doing, pal? He goes, so I'm letting the dog go to the bathroom. I said, sir, I put my hand on the word of God. This is exactly how I said it. I said, sir, please don't do that. Our children play in this field. And I, please don't do that if you would. And here he looked at me and he goes, haven't you got anything else better to do? I said, as a matter of fact, I do. Come think of it. I put my briefcase down. I said, what did you say? He said, haven't you got anything else better to do? I said, hey, pal, this ain't a latrine. It's a field. This is a church. Children play in that field. Please, don't let you bring your dog over here to go to the bathroom. He goes, you really don't have anything else better to do you? I said, how about this, buddy? How about if I get my pet gorilla and bring him over to your front yard and let him use it for a bathroom? Would you like that? About that time, his wife walks up. What's going on? He goes, oh, this guy's giving us a bad time about letting a dog go to the bathroom. Oh, she goes, oh, typical church people. I said, okay, pal, here's how it's going to work. You get your wife and you get your dog and you figure out which one's which and you get in that van and you get off this property and don't you ever come back here again. I think that falls under the wrong kind of anger, if I remember right. But I had prayed and read my Bible. I mean, the Lord was with me. And the reason that man isn't dead laying over in that field right now is because the Holy Spirit kept me back like Russell. Man, I got my briefcase and I'm walking toward the building that morning. Little kids coming in for the school, little kindergarten high preacher, leave it alone, kid! I'm heading for my office. Open the door, throw my briefcase in the office, tell the secretary, no phone calls! Sit down, got out my Bible. Well, there goes an hour. Kill them, Lord. Just kill them all. Now let me get right. And I had to start my day all over again. So Pastor Johnson, if the Holy Spirit was controlling you, you wouldn't have lost it with that guy. No, he needed it. Believe me, he didn't get what I wanted to give him. But I know what that means. Look at me. I know what it means when this guy right here has a problem with the wrong kind of anger. I know what that means. It's not people who are bothering me. It's not my sin. I'm under a lot of pressure in my life. Everyone deals with pressure, people. Everybody. Do you understand that? Everyone has pressure. There's pressure in the nursery this morning. They're in there right now. There's pressure over who's going to get on that thing and ride that sucker. Those little guys are in pressure this morning. Everybody has pressure, just different qualities and types, comes from different sources. Look, we can make all the excuses that we want, but my anger is an indication spiritually I'm not right with God. It is a flag that says, the wrong kind of anger, it's a flag that says you're not walking with God like you should. You can't walk around, my friend, like a loaded time bomb in this world today. There are too many people out there who've got your name on their lips. They know who you are and they're looking for you. They're going to get in your path, get in your face, and get in your way. And you better be ready for that. And the Spirit of God will prepare us and help us and give us our control and limitations in our lives. So then you see there's no excuse for the wrong kind of anger. You know what you do about the wrong kind of anger? You must realize it's about influences. The Holy Spirit's influence in my life, control in my life will help me. The wrong kind of anger, you must understand something. What's aggravating you in your life? Life aggravates me. Seriously, that's what your, everything aggravates you? Everything. So I guarantee you this. Whatever side of the political spectrum you are on this morning, and I hope you're on the side with sense, not C-E-N-T-S either, S-E-N-S-E, sense. Whatever side you're on today, wherever you're at, wherever you're getting your information, I guarantee you, if you've got problems with your anger, you've got the wrong kind of influence, wrong kind of anger, you've got the wrong kind of influences in your life. You can't sit around listening to these people griping on the radio about everything on the planet and it not get to your spirit. You know it is. You know it does. Well, what they're saying, I agree with. That's fine, well, fine, and good. But you can't listen to a one-hour monologue of someone ragging on everything that's wrong with America with very few recommendations of repair and think that somehow or another just listening and my aggravation is my contribution to my patriotism. That is going to do nothing but make you more angry. And it's going to frustrate the fire out of you. Your influences. Look, you go to work and people come to work mad. Why? Because they have a job. I didn't want to come to work this morning. Hey, you know what? There's about 15.7% people in this county would take your job. So quit and go let somebody else take it then. But don't let them get to you now. Hear me? Don't let them get to you. Don't let these people who are mad about having work cause you a problem with the fact you have work. Don't get it. It's our influences. See, it's an indicator of who is influencing us in our lives and who we're allowing to influence us. So many folks, you spend so much time in chat rooms and all these things, so much time just sitting on a computer all the time, looking up this and looking up, and there is this conspiracy. I saw a thing the other day that showed how that the president, Mr. Obama, is, Jesus said he was the Antichrist. Somebody sent me this video. And unfortunately, I sit and watched it. And when it was over, first of all, it was terrible application of Scripture. Secondly, I thought, it's typical. I remember when they thought Jimmy Carter was the Antichrist. And a man couldn't leave two ants to a picnic. You've got to be kidding me. Then Gorbachev was the Antichrist. Remember that one, huh? You folks from World War II, remember when Mussolini was the Antichrist? Yes? Then Michael Jackson was the Antichrist. And all these guys are the Antichrist. And everybody's the Antichrist. And what happens? You get, listen to me, your influences, your anger of the wrong kind is an indication you've got the wrong kind of influences in your life. It doesn't mean you close your eyes and you just go through life without information and being aware of things. Look at me, but it better not be your entire life and day. Hey, friend, there's hope in that book, that Word of God. Huh? As bad as it can get in life, God in heaven can give you reason to get out of bed in the morning and do what you need to do. And the influences of our life are there. Some of you folks, you've got friends who just foment your temper. They just foment it. They feed it. And you think, well, they're my friends. Okay, fine. Limit your contact. Or tell them to knock it off. But also, my anger, the wrong kind, is not only an indication of the influences in my life. We need to understand, it is an indication of the lives I am influencing. You got trouble with your temper? Bet your kids do too. And it ain't genetic, bro. They didn't inherit that from you because they were born of you. They watched you lose it long enough until their temper got out of control. And let me tell you something right now. That is lethal in society today. I have had people drive down the road. You know, you have one of those things in a traffic situation where somebody doesn't get the lane that they want. This lady over here come behind me on the road over here one day as I was heading toward the office, and somehow, somewhere, I believe I'm a careful driver anyway. Somehow, some way, she felt like I cut her off in traffic or got ahead of her in some way, and she had her hand up like this, loser. And she held it up all the way through Churn Creek Bottom, all the way up to the stoplight. Then rolled her window down and stuck her arm out like this as she got on the freeway and waved at me, loser. And she was by herself in a car. I thought to myself, woman, don't you realize there are people in this society today who would just shoot you to look at you? Look at me. You teach your children to not have control over their temper. They're going to mouth off at someone and they'll get themselves killed. Because we got some pretty nutball outfits out there walking the streets. Yes? Look at our anger is an indicator of our influences. We are influencing people to have the same sort of thing. Who wants to be mad all the time? Who wants to have anger in their life and they're always angry about something? Same kind of people are going to get to heaven and go, oh, I didn't think these streets are that golden. Oh, the walls don't look like that jasper I thought it was going to look like. And yeah, it's, you know, several thousand miles up, but so what? I didn't think it was that tall. And they'll start griping about heaven. Our temper is affected by our influences, and our temper is affecting the temper of others. The The wrong kind of temper also should cause us to realize it leaves an impression. Marriages are destroyed because people get mad at each other and say things they should not say. Well, I told my spouse I was sorry. Didn't take back what you did. And they do remember what you say. Yes? It leaves an impression. Well, I just gave him a piece of my mind. That was a short conversation. Didn't take long to get that one out, did it? Huh? We've got parents saying things to their children and children saying things to their parents in anger, and it is literally ripping our families to pieces. And then you think going to counseling is going to fix all that stuff. Does not fix what you've said. You're leaving an impression with your anger. You're leaving an impression upon somebody. And their lives are touched and affected by that. And we're leaving an impression. You know what happens in churches, don't you? Somebody comes to church in a bad mood. And they weren't happy anyway. Because when they got up this morning, the dog chewed their newspaper. And nothing went right. But they came to church. But they were mad before they got on the property. And all it takes is put their kid in the nursery. And then somebody's kid takes a chunk out of their kid. And somebody doesn't get their favorite diaper back. Or somebody doesn't get their pacifier. Or God forbid somebody else's nasty child puts that pacifier in their mouth. And someone, you come into church and you always sit in the same place. And let me just say this, if you're a Baptist, you always sit in the same place. Until you come to church and some stinking visitor gets your seat. And you don't get to sit where you always sit. And you're two rows off and nothing's right and this is it. And now all it takes is one person to say one word and you've lost it. And that's how problems start in churches. People have the wrong kind of anger. Something happens they don't like, don't care for, and what do? They just spout off at each other. Look here, it leaves an impression. Wrong one, unfortunately. Look here, the right kind of anger is an anger over which you have control. You start it, you stop it. It never lasts longer than 24 hours, and you're not mad at the whole world for the rest of your life. That's unscriptural stuff. But it is biblical to have the right kind of anger over a just cause. The wrong kind of anger, friend, is an indicator. Look here. It's a big red flag that says, Mike Johnson, you better get alone with your God. Mike Johnson, you know something's not right. Mike Johnson, you're not right with God. And that's why you have this temper problem in your life. It's easily repaired. You get alone with God and let the Holy Spirit control you. And if something happens that causes the wrong kind of anger in your life, you deal with it spiritually, immediately. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you to get a hold of me now before I get a hold of somebody. You get a hold of me now in my life, and the Spirit of God will control you, and He will give you what the Bible calls in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is temperance, self-control. And so you can live in an angry world and not get caught up in it. You can get around angry people, and they're not affecting your spirit at all, because he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning. We can spend all this time, ladies and gentlemen, going to counseling and look at our lives and our childhood and all the things that should have happened that didn't happen and blah, blah, blah. We can spend all our time on that if we want to. But God's answer is always much more simple. Number one, are you a Christian and are you sure of that? Well, I know Christians who have bad temper problems. I didn't ask you about anybody else. I asked you about yourself this morning. Are you a child of God and are you sure of that?